Have you ever wondered how to make sense out of your messy life or how to live in peace in the middle of a stressful world? My name is Jamie Norton, and I want to welcome you to the Making Peace and Beyond podcast. In almost 50 years as a counselor, I have seen a lot of life happen, and this podcast is going to cover all of it. So thanks for joining us while we explore life's struggles and how to live in the peace, joy, and freedom that Christ died to give us. Today, I welcome back again one of my best friends, Jenny Long. Jenny is involved in a program called Arise Now. This is a new program since we last did our podcast, and it's a program for women who are living in abusive or have lived in abusive relationships. And as I do Making Peace and Beyond, and you do Arise, and I do counseling, one of the most common things that I hear is, what happened? How did I get here? Why can't I control this behavior, that behavior? Why do I keep attaching myself to dysfunctional or unavailable people? But anyway, Jenny, that's what we're going to talk about today. So how are you, and welcome back.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm really happy to be back and having this conversation with you because I think it's such an important one for people to begin to understand where the roots of things that they have in relationships or show in relationships or behaviors that come up come from. And I think it's a big part of healing for any person as they step forward in their journey with the Lord and becoming who the Lord has created them to be.
Well, thank you for what you're doing to address those issues. And, you know, one of the things that is so real is that I think the majority of people have no real understanding of how the story that they were born into has been going on for generations, and often the legacy that they inherit from that and the part that they play in that is sets them up for failure in relationships later on, or struggles. I won't say failure, but for struggles in relationships later on, because we think, okay, I've survived that, I've left that, you know, I dealt with that, you know, that doesn't affect me, you know, I've been successful, you know, I've had all these things, and yet things aren't working interpersonally. Things aren't working because they keep getting into arguments and feeling misunderstood. And so it's just something that is hard to address because it requires us to go back into the pain.
Yes.
And that is what's so hard for people. It's like, I got that door closed. There was a monster outside. And I locked this kid inside. And if I open that door, that monster's still out there. And I'm really afraid, you know, to allow myself to experience the pain and the hurt that that child went through.
And I think that's so true. I've talked to a lot of people who've done what you just said, which is they've shut the door and they think by shutting the door, that's going to solve the problem. And what I've learned on my journey and I've heard other people talk about is that we need to open that door and embrace that child and embrace the story we came out of and understand it and step into the pain and grieve it. And when we do that, that's when I have found on my path that awareness and healing has come.
Yeah, the freedom of really being able to deal with the shame and the guilt and the feelings of inadequacy and all that were there is something you can't know until you know.
Right.
I mean, because you don't have a concept of it. The we don't know that our normal was abnormal. I know when I grew up with two alcoholic parents, and we had a lot of good things. I mean, we had a lot of privileges. I was loved a lot, but they were very sick and could not give me what I needed. And I understand today that how that affected me in ways that made me attach myself to unavailable and dysfunctional people. But I think when you look at what happens to a child, and I tell people sometimes, if you grow up in Germany, you speak German.
Yes.
You can't speak another language. You may not like German. You may not like German habits, but you have no option. You have no other alternative. And so you can leave Germany. You can get your passport. You can come to the United States. But you're going to go into a group of people and you are going to say 10 of them are in there and 9 of them speak English and 1 speaks German. Who are you going to talk to?
Yeah.
You're going to talk to the one who speaks your language. So we find each other. We find each other in avoiding painful truths. We find each other in not addressing issues. We find each other in so many different ways that we don't even understand. And then we just continue. Murray Boyden was a family therapist. He called it the undifferentiated ego mass. We bring into our relationships all of our past, all of our family history, all of the things that we've been through. And so you go back to the beginning and say, you know, what happened to that innocent little child? I mean, if you look at two basic things that children have to have in order to grow healthy. One is attachment.
Yep.
I mean, no living thing can survive without attachment to some other living thing. I mean, we are not independent. All this idea about we're going to be independent, I'll do it myself, it's not going to work. and so we have to have attachment. The other thing we have to have in order to be healthy is we have to be able to exist. We have to be able to own our body, our needs, our feelings, our limits, our gifts, the things that God created us to do. But children being born into situations where their needs or feelings threaten their caretakers, you know, that nobody can tolerate their anger, that their crying scares somebody, that that they, if they're needy, the parent gets freaky or starts to be more abusive. And so the child will inevitably give up that authenticity, give up their own individual needs, feelings, and limits in order to stay attached and not be rejected or abandoned or abused by their caretaker. And that attachment can get very different. So you talk a lot about your attachment issues and how that looks. So I'll let you pick it up for.
Well, one thing I want to say is that whole thing about German. We go to what we're familiar with until we know that what we're familiar with is not healthy. And I know on my journey, that's what I have done, and I've repeated it, I must say, several times. But for me, like, I grew up in a home where at 6 months old, my older brother died and my parents went off the scene. And at that very young age, I began to realize that I didn't have anybody coming.
There's nobody there.
Nobody there. And then I had another brother born with the same blood disease that my older brother died from, and all the attention went to that brother. And I learned along the way that the way to be loved was to have no wants, needs, or feelings, because when I did, there was explosive stuff that came or criticism that came. And I developed what I call an avoidant attachment style. And I call it diving under the table. And I even have a little dollhouse table in my home to remind me that that is what I naturally do, because it was what was wired in me and how I learned to survive. And I think all kids growing up learn to survive in some way, and it becomes the familiar way of living. Yeah. And it's carried out in other relationships. So I looked in relationships in my life for what was familiar, people who were not available, who did not care about my wants, needs, or feelings, where I became more of the rescuer and the enabler.
And one of the great survival decisions by a child is, I don't need anybody.
Right.
I can do it myself. And yet you want someone, you want to be loved, you want to be, but you're scared to death to be loved. And there's, you know, the children who develop a secure attachment are children who've had some consistent love, and love is there no matter if you're upset, not upset, whether you're needy, not needy, at least fairly consistent. I don't think any parent is consistent.
No.
I mean, we're humans, we have stuff happen, and stuff happens, and so, but if there's if there's a deep thread of your love, you can be who you are. We can talk about things. We don't have to avoid things. We can discuss things, and we can deal with feelings, and we can teach you to deal with your feelings and your emotions. You know, children can become secure and can have really healthy adult relationships. There are healthy adult relationships, and there are healthy families, you know, which is something people begin to wonder about. But I think I'm more of an anxious attachment person.
Okay.
I mean, ambivalent, you know, because in my house, performance was really big. Mm-hmm. And also, things would change unpredictably, you know, as my parents drank or didn't drink. A lot of the tone of our house was where whether or not somebody was intoxicated. Or what level of intoxication. So at times, I mean, you don't just bounce in the house and say, hey, I'm home. You wait and you have this almost radar or that senses the mood of the day, the mood du jour. And then you react according to the mood du jour.
Right.
And so you learn very early when to ask for stuff, you know, when not to ask for stuff.
Right.
When to... you know, be funny and have joking going on and talk about stuff and when not to do that. So, you know, that attachment style is unpredictable, and it tends to be the fear of any moment now I'm going to do the wrong thing and somebody's leaving. And so there's a dependency that develops with that. It's really conducive to real codependency, where your mood depends on somebody else's mood, and you get up in the morning and say, "How am I today?" You know, I mean, it's really, you know, like that. And so, for just the it's really confusing and aggravating to people because they feel controlled, they feel nagged. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And, you know, what, you know, are you there? Are you not there? And I can border on avoidant because at 16, I was basically, you know, pushed away in my moment of most need. So it was real obvious to me that you couldn't really have serious needs or you might get exiled a minute.
Right.
So it was really hard for me to feel connected and feel detached to somebody, and that's been a struggle. And the other one is the disorganized attachment, which is very impossible to relate to, because that's the traumatized, abused, you very hot and cold. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be here, but then I can't stand it. The thought of too anxious when you get too close, so I'm going to push you back. And so that kind of stuff goes on. So it really has a lot to do with the partners we pick and the friends we make and who we are in that relationship.
And that is so true. And I just wanted to take a moment to talk about the fact that you said you've got anxious, but you've got avoidant as well. And I just wanted to say I have anxious a little bit too, because my mom was unpredictable and would rage at certain times, and I wasn't quite sure what I would get. So I think we can have a combination of a few. And I do think it does have a lot to do with friendships and relationships and who we choose.
I think because we tend to be fairly open about what's going on in our lives and what happened to us, and we talk sort of freely about things that other people avoid, like death and sex and you know, anger and sometimes I feel like a bull at a china shop, because, you know, I think sometimes, especially in the Christian community, we live in the nice world.
Oh,
where
yes.
Everybody's happy and everybody's okay. And you know, we're like the Facebook nation, you know. nobody is who they are at home. I won't say nobody. That's unfair. But there's a strong tendency to argue all the way to church and then smile sweetly and, fine, thank you, how are you? And then go home. And that is the self that we have created in order not to get hurt.
Yeah, I call them happy plastic people, where they come in and put on this outside view of how everything is wonderful and great. And what they're really doing is they're keeping that child trapped inside, and they're not talking about their story and what they've walked through in an authentic way.
It's the illusion of safety.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to keep that, I've got to stay safe. You know, I can't be vulnerable. And essentially because in Genesis chapter 2, you know, Adam and Eve were naked and they felt no shame. And the word naked in scripture is vulnerability.
Yes.
They were able to know they were loved and know and love each other when they were vulnerable. And that's what we lost.
We did lose that. And what I would say and what has helped me along the way is that, you know what, Jesus lives in the truth. And the truth is what our story is. There's no shame in it.
No.
It's what we experienced and what we've walked through. And when we're willing to open that door and begin to embrace the story and embrace the child and even say, look at what you did to survive. Wow.
I want to congratulate you for getting here.
congratulate you for getting here. And I want to put my arms around you. And I want to show you and give you the things that you didn't get growing up. And I think that's a key part of our healing is to be authentic and live in the truth and be willing to tell our story.
Somebody said, you know, scripture does not say, it says the truth will set you free, but there's a precursor to that. It says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
I love that.
And so often we just talk about the last line of it but just knowing the truth, and that's the hard part, because our false understanding, our unfortunate comfort zone is so real to us.
Yes.
It is so real. And I remember early on just being shocked when somebody said I didn't come from a happy family. You know, I mean, and it was like, oh, really? Because we had a lot of happy, we had a lot of good times, but we learned to discount and discard those that weren't.
Yes.
Or not talk about them. You know,
quiet. I mean,
one way to really see whether people are being honest with each other or not is, can we talk about whatever happens or did happen?
Right.
Can we cry together? Can we discuss painful situations? Can we disagree with each other? You know, do we talk about each other instead of to each other?
Right.
Because that's a cardinal rule. I was talking to somebody the other day, a couple who both grew up in different kinds of dysfunction. One's family was didn't talk at all, and the other one screamed at each other a lot. So it was really a great relationship. And so when there was a conflict, she would scream and he would withdraw. And then she would scream louder because she wasn't feeling heard, and he would withdraw more because he was feeling yelled at. And that's a very common pattern.
Sure is.
And so to go back and be willing to look at how did we learn to deal with life this way?
Right. What are our learned behaviors, our learned survival behaviors, mm-hmm. Of fight, flight, freeze, fawn, and how do those play into relationships? And when can we start to recognize those and embrace the story behind them and learn how to do things differently? And one of the things you touched on that I think is really important is authentic community. So in this new ministry, Arise, I think one of the things that surprises women is that we stand up there and we tell our story. And we're not afraid to hide. And it invites people into, really, I don't have to be ashamed. I can talk about what happened to me or what is happening to me.
Because of what's happening.
Yeah, who I've become. And you're embraced and loved. And I think coming out of an abusive marriage about 4 years ago, that's what helped me is authentic community where I could talk and be real and loved and seen. And
I think it's the only reason that Making Peace and Beyond has survived. Mm-hmm. I tell people sometimes God's assignment to me is to throw myself under the bus repeatedly. But what I found when I first started doing Making Peace, I really believed that I would go into a group and I would see these, you know, sort of altogether looking people sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to tell them my story, and they're going to leave because, you know, this is a terrible thing. Because as much as we want to be known, we're also terrified, to be loved. We're terrified to be known. And so I'm telling my story, and then I look around for the eyes of judgment. And it surprised me that for the last 40 years, there has never been a time when people got up and ran out of the room. What has happened for 40 years is that people told their own story.
Right.
And we want to tell our story. We want to be heard. We want somebody to see us and to love us and to soothe us and to know that we can be authentic and loved. We can be authentic and safe. And there's no way to heal on your own. I see a lot of people doing a lot of self-help book reading.
Yes.
I'm going to find the right book and the right formula, and then I'm going to be able to change these behaviors and know that I'm okay. But you have to see the eye. You have to be able to tell your worst stuff and see the eyes of acceptance.
Which is what we needed from the time we were born. We were created for relationship. We were created for somebody to see us. We come from a triune God who is about relationship. And so if you don't get that attachment, that healthy attachment growing up, it feels really risky to share the truth about your story. And I love the Making Peace and Beyond program because it invites people right away to be authentic and share and not be judged and stepping into a new way of living that brings healing. And it's the way that the Lord wants us to live.
Yeah. I mean, I see Jesus there more than I see him anywhere else. You know, just it's more intense. You know, and on Friday night, you see a bunch of people that are sitting there thinking, why am I here and how do I get out of here? And by Sunday, they don't want to leave each other. They're taking phone numbers. It's because that bond that develops in authenticity is realizing you're not alone. And that child has been alone in that hidden room for all those years. And then somebody's out there, and somebody knows what you're talking about, and somebody accepts you, and you don't get hurt. And it's not that life isn't filled with pain and suffering. There will be more hurt.
Yes, there will.
And that's why it's so important to be grounded in an authentic community where you can have that hurt and be accepted. I mean, because you and I both have gone through pain.
We have.
And we have gone through, we've had our snit fits, as I say. We have had our times of irritability. We have had our times of intolerance. We have had times of depression and just grief. And it's okay because we're still sitting here and we're still saying God is using our experience to help others. God is using our experiences to say, I love you. I see you. I know you. And I love you. And I've gone to a lot of trouble to take away the guilt and shame and provide a space of light in the middle of a dark world. Because this world is not going to be light.
No, this world is often calling us to be and wear that mask that says that everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And we need to be invited into places where we know we're not alone. You know, we have a relationship with the Lord, many of us, but we also need that relationship and community around us.
We are his body.
Yes.
I mean, we are the body of Christ. And to really take that seriously and say, you know, I don't function well unless you do. And we need to know each other and how to be with each other so that we continue to grow and function and build up. I mean, and that's where community comes in, real community. And it, not intellectual community, but
right.
Heart community.
Heart community.
Heart community. And you know, I feel so blessed by the people God has brought into my life and the family, spiritual family that I have. And it took a while to receive it. I mean, to trust it, to really say, I am cared about and I can be me and stay. And that takes a while.
It does take a while, especially if you've grown up in a family of dysfunction where you did not get what you need. There's risk in stepping out. And I think it takes longer to trust others. Mm-hmm. But it's worth doing.
And it requires that I accept myself as a human who's going to make mistakes, but I also have to accept that the other person is going to also make mistakes, that we're going to hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I dance with you for a long time, I'm going to step on your toes occasionally. And we have to learn to deal with that in a way that isn't like, oh, you know, you don't love me anymore because I did something wrong, or you saw something that wasn't perfect in me, so that means I'm going to be left and I'm going to be abandoned. And, you know, all of that is very, it just comes into play. And I tell people sometimes you learn a new language. God offers us a language of love, and so we can move out of the language of survival, which helped us to get here. I mean, and it's like we know how to survive, but we don't know how to live, you know.
Right.
And there's quite a difference in knowing how
to live.
Live and knowing how to just survive.
There's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
And
learning a language, it's like if I was going to send you to Germany to learn German, and next week I want you to speak perfect German, have perfect language and perfect everything, and you're supposed to be able to do it all by next week, you would laugh at me because you would know I can't learn a new language in 1 week. You know, it's going to take time. And first I'm going to get a word, and then I'm going to phrase, and then I'm going to get a fraction of a sentence, and then I'm going to speak it. But then when life happens really quick, I'm going to go back to the original language for a moment. And
right.
Then I have to own it and deal with it and ask forgiveness for it. But I can't be expected. And yet in the church, very often we expect somebody, I'm saved, I'm done. And there's no really recognition that being saved is a passport out, but it is not, you still don't know the language. I say it's like getting the car to go to California, but you're not in California. You know, I mean, there's a long way to go.
It's a, you know what, it to me, and I describe this as I describe my own path, it's a healing journey. It's one step at a time. It's four steps forward and two steps backwards. And we're gracious with one another. The Lord is gracious with us. We need to be gracious with one another. No one is perfect. And one of the things that's really important that a lot of children don't experience, and I think is important in healthy adult relationships, is repair of rupture.
Yeah.
Because we are going to hurt one another. And we need to learn how to repair ruptures that happen in a way that is authentic and true and real. And that's a part of learning and growing in ways of dealing in healthy ways in community and with one another.
Yeah, and it can't be done in literally. I think as a counselor, I see my role as let me help you to have enough courage to step into community.
Yes.
Because you're not going to heal in my office. You're going to heal in community. And to be able to, and you know, find that small group of people that you can be with to take those kinds of risks and to witness the repair of ruptures.
Yes.
You know, to witness that we can heal from, you know, one thing that I have come to in my practice is I talk a lot about, don't talk a lot about problems. I don't think we have problems. We have opportunities.
Yes.
God brings us the opportunities to grow beyond where we have been. And sometimes it's really it's a painful gift, but it's a gift. And with every time we hit a wall, we have a choice. We can use it as an opportunity to grow stronger, wiser, closer to Christ, more loving, more caring and giving, or we can choose to become an angry, bitter victim. And we live in a world that encourages us to become an angry, bitter victim.
Yes.
And not to use every life opportunity to look at who am I in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and I've said to you, you know, one of the things that scares me sometimes in what is we can't stay put. It isn't like, okay, you were victimized, but you do not live as a victim.
Right.
And it's to move beyond that. You know, who have I become because of what happened to me? Who have I become in this abusive relationship? You know, who have I become here? I need to look at not just leaving you or fixing you or, mm-hmm. you know, blaming you or doing whatever it is I'm doing to you, but I need to look at who am I here? Who have I become? Have I become an anxious, fearful person? Have I become an angry, bitter victim? Have I become somebody mm-hmm. who is going to just mess up the next relationship because it didn't work this time and it's not going to work next time if to go into a relationship as a wounded person? I need to heal.
Need to heal. And one of the things that we actually talked about at Arise last night is in a victim role, you act like you're helpless and there's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is you can begin to recognize what happened in these abusive and destructive relationships and what can I see about me mm-hmm. and what can I own and how can I step forward to be more of the beautiful person God has created me to be and to not remain in this place of poor, poor me.
People who live in a sort of a victim mentality and that helplessness, and that is, I think we all have been there at some
yes.
point. We are helpless. I mean, I tell people, you want to see how much control you have, hold your breath.
Yes,
for 10
yes.
minutes. You know, I mean, we don't have it, but the idea that if you look at who we are in the image of God. The image of God in us is our free will. It is our ability to heal, our ability to choose, our ability to grow, our ability to change, our ability to have vision, our ability to write the part of our co-write our story, and that is the greatest gift. Ever. Well, it's who we are.
It is.
It's who we are in Christ. And when you are living in a victim mentality, you are giving that up.
Yes.
You are saying, "I don't have that." And that's an insult to yourself.
Right, because we have agency. God has given us agency.
Exactly.
And we can, like we talk about the child being locked behind the door, we can be brave and open that door and begin to embrace our story and that child and our healing and stepping
forward. And the truth
forward.
Is there are still some monsters out there.
Yes, there are. I've run into them.
But in fact, yes, you have. And I have as well. And married a couple of them.
Yes, me too.
The people, but the fact is, the child has grown up. The child now has choice that the little child didn't have.
Yes.
The adult has choice.
The adult
The child
has.
Had no choice. And that's one of the greatest differences between operating in life as a child and operating in life as an adult.
Yeah, a
is
child
we have choice.
Yeah, a child does not have choice and they learn to survive. But you're right, we as adults have choice. And I do want to go back to one thing that you said. I mean, for me, God has put community around me to take the place of what I didn't have growing up in my mom and my dad and my family. And if it wasn't for that community, I would have probably not made it through my last choice of running to the familiar in a relationship. And I just want to encourage people as they listen that God, as you pray and seek Him and you take risks, can bring people around you who will help you on the journey. Because alone, I'm not sure I would have made it.
You know, one of the beginning things we said is that every living thing needs to be attached to another living thing.
Yes.
And that does not change because we are grown. It
No.
does not change because we've become an adult. I mean, as a child, it's immediately life-threatening. As an adult, we will wither away.
Yes.
I mean, it is absolutely essential that we know that we're part of a body. We were never meant to do life alone.
Right, and an authentic community.
An authentic community, not just I show up and pretend.
Right.
You know,
we show up and we're real.
This thing that I developed to please you, this people-pleasing thing, you know, this perfectionistic thing that says I'm here to make sure you like me. I'm here to make sure you're approved of me. I'm here to make sure you don't get mad at me. I'm here to let you define who I am. You know, when you live in Christ and your identity is in Christ,
yes.
you know who you are. You know whose you are. and you don't walk into any situation trying to figure that out.
Right.
You know, trying to see what they say about you, because you already know who you are. And whether they, you know, particularly like it or not is less important
mm-hmm.
than being walking in truth and in grace. And I think sometimes we, you know, truth can without grace can seem harsh, but I think one of the things about walking in Christ is we are creations of love.
Yes, we
are.
I mean,
and the closer we walk to Christ, the more we walk in that love. And we love His children more. Mm-hmm. Most of them anyway. I mean, I know I'm pretty better at loving people than I used to be, but I can love anybody from about 300 miles.
But I
can't love everybody up close. I try, you know, and I'm better than I used to be. I really am. But, you know, that little snarky person in me still gets out sometimes, you know, but I need to pay attention to that and love you best by backing away until being a distance that I can love you.
Right. And sometimes we need to do that with, mm-hmm. especially with people who are unhealthy and not willing to look at their own stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to just reiterate what you said about identity. I think our identity in Christ is a foundation for us and a place we need to stand upon. And we cannot afford to allow others to define who we are. Because we get ourselves in big trouble when that happens, especially if we're dealing with an unhealthy, abusive, or destructive person who's telling us things that are not true.
Yeah, we say you have to be independently mature enough in Christ to be maturely dependent on another person, which is a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
But being independently mature enough in Christ means I'm already secure. I already am valuable and significant. I already know who I am.
Yep.
I already have meaning and purpose, and I already have the fruit of the Spirit. I already have love and peace and joy and goodness and patience and loyalty and self-control and kindness.
Yeah.
And then I am ready for relationship.
Right.
You know, and we can share that, but we can't get it from each other.
No, we cannot.
No matter what the fairy tales say.
Happily ever after.
That's right. So, Prince Charming has already come.
His
name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus, yes.
Anyway, it's fun talking to you. It always is fun talking to you.
Fun talking to you too, Jamie. Thank you for this opportunity. Anything else you wanted to say
before we sign off for the day?
No, I appreciate this conversation. I think it's one that everybody needs to listen to and take to heart in terms of authenticity and attachment and how that's impacted us and being willing to step in to open the door to look at things and heal and step forward.
If you don't like the story you're living, then change the script.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you again for being here and for being my friend and for walking with me through this crazy journey that we both are on.
I would say ditto on that, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this conversation, please like and subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends, and join us on all of our social media channels. Thanks again, and God bless you.